Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome. I am Pastor Bo, as she said. And you may remember last week I mentioned I had to get one of my wisdom teeth pulled. That was my dentist. Dr. Megan, she's also part of our women's ministry team. And ladies, you really should register for that event. My mom, Kathy, will be there. My wife, Gianna, will be there. It is going to be a great, great time. Our new children's ministry director, Patty Kelly, is going to be speaking. Yeah. Patty will be speaking on finding healing from family hurt and trauma. Now, as I say that, some of you are thinking, I should really bring my friend to this event because her family is messed up. But the truth is, we all have hurts from our childhood because we all come from imperfect families. We all have something in our childhood. That's my mom there saying, no, your childhood was perfect, Bo. But we all have that one thing in our childhood that we thought was normal until we got older. Now, my parents did give me permission to share. Growing up, I remember we had multiple cars parked in our driveway. Cars that had not run for years, just rusting away. We had a garage, we had a storage shed full of boxes, like dozens and dozens, that had traveled with us for several moves. There was boxes of books that no one was ever going to read again. There were boxes of junk we were never going to use again, and as kids, we thought this was normal. We'd build forts out of them, and growing up, I realized that's not normal. My parents, God bless them, have some hoarder tendencies. And unfortunately, I have inherited some of those tendencies. For me, it's those little boxes that your electronics come in, like your phone and your computer. And I save them because I think it's like the progressive commercial, the young homeowners becoming their parents. You never know when you're going to need that box again. The answer is never. You're never going to need it again. But maybe the normal in your childhood looks something different. Maybe for you, it's when all the family got together and the aunts and the uncles came over, you knew after a certain hour all the kids needed to go to their rooms because everyone was going to get drunk. Or maybe for whatever reason, your parents weren't home a lot and you would get home from school and you'd let yourself in and you'd be home all alone. Or maybe your parents got divorced. Or maybe there was addiction. Or maybe there was emotional or verbal abuse or even physical abuse. And if that's the case, I am so, so sorry. And we tell ourselves, I never want my kids to go through what I experienced. But we have a problem. The problem is that we tend to inherit our parents' sin tendencies. God talks about this in the Bible. He warns us in Exodus 20, verse 5, and I want you to see this and follow along. In 20, verse 5, God says, I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. If you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to underline, the entire family is affected. Now, are we saying that God punishes the children for their parents' mistakes? No. God is pointing out that when we don't follow his ways, it affects our entire family, even our grandchildren, even our great-grandchildren. But this does not mean that life is hopeless. This does not mean we are doomed to follow our parents' mistakes, because God follows up this warning with a promise. He says, but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. If you have a pen, underline 1,000 generations. Instead of 3 or 4 generations, 1,000 generations. Friends, you have the power to change your family tree. God brings blessing. Jesus breaks every chain. You can find healing and hope. Today, I want to share with you about a very broken family from the Bible and how God took their brokenness and turned it around to bless thousands of generations. Now, they started off well enough. It was Isaac and his wife Rebecca, they had their parents' blessing on their marriage. They could honestly say, God brought us together. And after they got married, they prayed and they prayed for years, and finally Rebecca was able to have a child. She got pregnant and they are ready to have their perfect family. But then Rebecca started having complications. How many of you were pregnant or your wife was pregnant and you felt that little kick there in the belly, and it's like, oh, that's so exciting. Oh, the baby's moving. Well, for Rebecca, it was more like a kung fu fight going on in her belly. And she's like, what is happening? Oh, and it hurts. Now, they didn't have ultrasound back then. So she's praying, saying, God, what is happening? And God revealed, you are having twin boys. And then he said this, the sons in your womb will become two nations. And from the beginning, the two nations will be rivals. Well, that was just the beginning of their family troubles. A few months go by, the babies are born, and sure enough, there's twins. The first one came out, and he was all covered in hair. Any of you have one of those? And so they named him Harry. I mean, they named him Esau, which means hairy. And then the second one came out, and he is clutching his brother's heel. And so they named him Jacob, which means heel, or one who trips up others, one who tricks others, one who deceives others. And so they have two sons, Harry and Heel. And even beside those names, there didn't have to be brokenness except for this. The Bible says in Genesis 25, 27, Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac, the dad, loved his son Esau because he grew up and he was a rough, you know, boy's boy. You know, he loved hunting, he loved fishing, he loved being outdoors. And Jacob was more gentle. He liked hanging out at home. And so the dad loved one and the mom loved the other. Friends, how can we bring healing to our broken families? First, especially for parents, love all your children equally. Don't play favorites. And definitely don't tell them that you have a favorite. But even if you tell them, even if you don't tell them, the kids know. Love them equally. We try very hard to love our kids equally. Now, that doesn't mean we love them the same, in the same way, because all our kids are different. When my daughter Cecily was in cheer, I became a cheer dad, and I'd go to her events, and I had a cheer dad shirt. When my son Jack got into cross country and track, I would be there at his meets, and I don't know what all these things mean, but I'm there and I'm cheering him on. Go, Jack! And then our littlest one, she's so creative. She loves to make creations out of paper and like makes these tiny little notebooks and folders and little houses with pockets. And I'm interested. I am her biggest fan. Love your children equally. But sometimes our kids will ask us, which one of us is the favorite child? And I don't know where this is coming from. And my wife and I tell them, we love you all the same. You're all our favorites. But Isaac and Rebecca, they played favorites. And that led to rivalry between the brothers. This one time, Esau, he'd been out hunting. You know, he's a man's man. He's out hunting for like all day. And he comes back and he has caught nothing. And he is starving. And Jacob, who's been hanging out at home, he had just made a nice big bowl of stew. Smells delicious. And Esau comes in and he's starving. He's like, hey, Jake, give me some of that stew. Kind of rude. And Jacob, he's the trickster. He's like, I'm not just going to give it to you, but I'll sell it to you. I'll sell it to you for your birthright. See, back then, the firstborn son would get the double portion of the inheritance. And so even though Esau was born just a few minutes before Jacob, he was the firstborn, he would get the bigger inheritance. And Jacob says, hey, sell me that right, and then I'll get the bigger inheritance for a bowl of stew. But Esau is like, well, it's not going to do me any good if I die of starvation, sure. And the Bible says Esau swore an oath, thereby selling his rights as firstborn to his brother Jacob. But that wasn't the end of their problems. Time goes by. Isaac, the dad, he's getting older. He can't see anymore. And he's thinking, you know, I'm not going to live much longer. I'm going to die soon. And he calls his son Esau, the older son. He says, son, go out and go hunting and kill something and make me a stew, a venison stew, the one I love, and bring it to me, and then I will bless you before I die. He wanted to speak blessing into his son's life, but only one of them. Well, Rebecca, the mom, hears about this. She says, it's going to be my son that gets the blessing, my favorite. And so she comes up with a plan to lie to the dad. She said to her son Jacob, "Now, my son, listen to me. Do exactly as I tell you. I'll prepare your father's favorite dish, then take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you before he dies." He's like, he's blind. He won't know the difference. And they plan to lie to Isaac. Why? Because Isaac set a bad example for his family. Friends, if you want to heal the brokenness in your family, be aware of the example you're setting. Several years earlier, Isaac and his family were traveling in the lands of the Philistines, and Isaac's thinking, these are godless people. My wife, Rebecca, she's beautiful. They might kill me and steal her. So he told everyone, "This is my sister." And I think about the logic here. He's thinking, they might kill me and steal her, so she's my sister. This is not protecting her at all. But where did he learn this? He learned this from his dad. His father, Abraham, had told the same lie twice about Isaac's mother, Sarah. And so now Isaac has learned this bad behavior, and now his son is lying to him. Friends, what example are we setting for our family? It's not enough just to tell them what to do. What example are we setting? You know, I could tell my kids, be kind to your siblings, stop calling each other names. But does that help if I then go and shout at their mother and call her names? No. Is there an area of your life where you're saying one thing but you're doing another? Maybe you say, tell the truth, don't tell lies. And the phone rings and it's the boss and you say, here, tell him I'm sick. Friends, we have a tendency to live out the sins that we saw our parents. And these sins, they have a greater pull for us. My wife, she told me and she gave me permission to share, she grew up witnessing a lot of dysfunction in her family. She was a product of a teenage pregnancy. And she saw a lot of substance abuse and addictions in her family members growing up. And she says, the fact that I am such a boring person is not an accident. She said, I work very hard to be this boring. Now, I don't think she's boring at all. But all her life, she has walked the straight and narrow, and she didn't get into drugs, and she didn't get to alcohol or sex. And so, why? Because she said, I want different for my family than what I saw. We want our kids to be part of the thousand generations that experience God's blessings. But we have a choice. Am I going to follow the example I saw, or am I going to do something different? And we recognize this is going to be harder for us. There's going to be a pull towards these sins. And we say, God, I don't want that for my family. Isaac set a bad example for his family, lying. He learned that from his dad, and now his son is lying to him. Jacob puts on his brother Esau's clothing so he'll smell like his brother. He put on these animal skins on his arms and on his neck, so when he came to his dad and his dad gave him a hug, he smells like Esau. Oh, it's hairy, feels like Esau, and he gave Jacob the blessing. Here's what Isaac said. He said, may many nations become your servants. May they bow down to you. May you be the master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. All who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed. Beautiful words. And even though they were intended for Esau, they still have power. And by the way, parents, your children shouldn't have to lie to you to get a blessing from you. Friends, number three, if you want to see blessing, if you want to see transformation, if you want to see change, speak blessing into your family members' lives. Are you speaking blessing into their lives or cursing? Maybe if your kids grow up hearing, all they hear is, you're stupid. They're going to believe that they're stupid. And maybe you say, well, I was just kidding. I was just playing around. Hey, words have power. This is why I love that line from the movie, The Help, where the nanny says to the little girl, you is smart, you is kind, you is important. And that little girl will grow up believing, I'm smart, I can do well in school, I'm kind, and she becomes a kind-hearted woman. She believes, I'm important, she has good self-esteem. Friends, this is not just in movies. Author and speaker Priscilla Shire has three sons, and before they leave the house each morning, she speaks this blessing over each of them. And sometimes they're like, Mom, just let me go. And she's like, no, you are going to hear this, sons. And she says to them, you are a man of integrity and character. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You will be a blessing to your teachers and a blessing to your friends. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are a leader, not a follower. And her sons are going to grow up being men of God because words have power. Speak blessings into your family's lives. Jacob got the blessing. He had to lie to get it, but he got it. And a little bit later, Esau comes in. He's gone hunting. He actually caught something this time. He made the venison stew, brought it to his dad, said, Dad, here's the stew, bless me. And the dad realized, oh no, I blessed your brother instead. And Esau's furious, and he says, his name's Jacob, and that's what he is. He's a deceiver. And then he decided, you know what, soon my dad's going to be dead. And when we're done mourning him, when the funeral time is over, Jacob is going to follow him into the grave. I am going to kill my brother. And Rebecca overhears this again and sends Jacob away to live with her brother Laban. For 20 years, Jacob is separated from his mother and his father and his brother. And his uncle Laban is an even worse deceiver than he is. Over and over again, Laban would lie to him, says, oh, you want to marry this daughter? And then he'd give him the other one. Oh, you want to earn these sheep? And then he sends them away, and he's constantly trying to deceive Jacob. And when Jacob finally left Syria, he told his uncle this, for 20 years I have been with you, caring for your flocks, and you changed my way just 10 times. In fact, if the God of my father had not been on my side, the God of Abraham, the fearsome God of Jacob, you would have sent me away empty-handed. You know what happened? Jacob got a taste of his own medicine. Friends, if you want to bring healing to your family's brokenness, you need to learn to see life from your family's perspective. So we get so caught up in our own perspective and in the way we see events, sometimes we fail to see how we've hurt others. For years, Jacob thought, man, my brother wants to kill me. What's wrong with that guy? And now he's starting to see, oh, I stole from him just like Laban tried to steal from me. I deceived my father just like Laban deceived me. And Jacob starts to see life from his family's perspective. Sometimes seeing life from their perspective means showing them grace. Like say, hey, my parents weren't perfect, but they did the best they know how. Maybe they were just trying to survive. My brother or sister, they've cut me off, but you know what? I probably hurt them too. They are hurting. My ex wants nothing to do with me, but how did I treat him? How did I treat her? See life from their perspective. Is there a family member from whose eyes you need to see? Jacob began to see life from Esau's perspective, and he finally realized all the hurt he'd caused his brother. And Jacob decided it's time to make peace. It's been 20 years. It's time to come home. And maybe my brother Esau will forgive me. Maybe God has softened his heart. So Jacob took the first step. He sent a messenger to let Esau know that he's coming home. But the Bible says, after delivering the message, the messengers returned to Jacob and reported, "We met your brother Esau, and he's already on his way to meet you with an army of 400 men. There's an army coming." He's like, oh, snap, he is coming to kill me. And not just me, but my entire family. See, Jacob left just one man. He has come back. He's got huge amount of wealth, of flocks of sheep and cattle. He's got servants. He has 12 children, a huge family, and now he has a lot to lose. And Jacob becomes desperate for God's help. He prays, and he prays for God's protection. He sends his family on across the river, and he stays behind praying. He is desperate for help because now he could lose everything. And maybe you've been there. Maybe the brokenness within your family is out of control, and you can't fix it, and you know I can't fix it. And friends, that's where God comes to meet you. Jacob is there. He's praying all night, and that's where God met him. As Jacob is praying, suddenly a man comes out of the darkness and tackles him. And Jacob starts wrestling this man for his life. And at first he thinks it's a bandit trying to kill him or it's a thief. But as time goes on, as he's wrestling, he realizes this is someone special. Jacob is wrestling with God. And he is desperate for God's help, and he wrestles with God all night long. Friends, when you get to the end of your rope, that's where God wants to meet you. And what we have to do is surrender our brokenness to Jesus. Jacob is wrestling with God. He is desperate for a blessing, and he knows there's something in his life he needs to let go of. And friends, you might have to wrestle with Jesus all night in prayer. You might pray every day for a year or years for your family to find healing. When morning came, Jacob's been wrestling all night. The sun starts to rise, and God says to him, hey, it's sun's coming up. Are you going to let go? And look at what Jacob said. I will not let you go unless you bless me. He's desperate. He is hanging on. He's saying, God, I am not leaving until you bless me. Friends, don't stop praying. Don't let go. Don't stop praying for your family. But at the same time, you have to surrender your brokenness to him. Look at what God said to Jacob. He said, what is your name? And he replied, Jacob. Remember, Jacob means heel. It means deceiver. It means trickster. And that's who he was. But God said to him, your name will no longer be Jacob. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. The name Israel means one who wrestles with God. And by the way, this is where the nation of Israel came from. Jacob became Israel. His descendants became the nation of Israel. And Jacob had to let go of his brokenness. He had to give up being deceiver, give up being trickster, so that he could become winner. He had to let go of this brokenness. And maybe you have to say, God, I need to let go of my anger. This is who I am. This is how I grew up. I've always been angry. This is what I saw in my family. I saw anger. But God, I'm giving this up to you. I need your help. I don't want to be this person anymore. Maybe it's control. I've always had to control my kids. I always had to control my family. I had to control my spouse. But life is out of control. God, I'm giving this to you. I want to be different. Surrender your brokenness. But don't stop praying. Don't let go until you get that blessing. Now, I've shared before about some of the brokenness in my family. For many years, my brother Dallas and I didn't speak to each other. And I've shared before about the pain this caused me, but today I want you to hear from someone who experienced even more pain than I did. I want you to hear from my mother, Kathy.
Ray and I have four beautiful children, our daughter Shalimar, and then three boys. We have Beau, Dallas, and Camden. As they were growing up, I just loved being a mom. We set up some guidelines that we felt were going to protect them physically and emotionally, and it seemed to work. The two oldest did okay. The middle son, Dallas, he started going against our guidelines. He wanted to get involved in a relationship. And I said, he's not ready because he's got all this anger. He needs to work through this. But he disagreed, and he continued to see this girl, and we got counsel, and we agreed with the counsel, and that was to ask him to move out. But after a couple of years, the relationship started fracturing more. He got married. We went to the wedding to support him, and it wasn't but a few months later that Bo got married and that Dallas didn't come. And then a couple of years later, Shalimar got married, and again, Dallas didn't come. It hurt me so much that he was missing out on these important events in the family. Dallas came to me one day and he said, I don't want you to come over anymore. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want text messages or phone calls. You know, just leave me alone. And it just hurt. I even became depressed and had to take medication just to get my focus off of him and off of my hurt and get to feeling right again. We had a group of friends that we would pray with about our kids. And as I saw other families have restoration, I thought, when is mine coming, God? I felt like, God, how many times am I going to turn this over to you and trust that you've got him? I kind of thought that we would get through this season rather quickly, you know, and it didn't. It took years, almost 10 years or more. I remember telling God, you know, I love him so much, but as much as I love my son, I know you love him more. And that was hard to do, letting go. I think God just started giving me some peace that it was okay to let go, and I could be okay with it. Didn't mean I'd had fun or that I'd liked it or was happy about it, but I could be at peace with it. I get a phone call and it's him, and I could barely recognize him. He was crying. He was so hurt. He called to tell me he needed a place to stay. He was in a broken place in his family. Ray and I would always tell him we love him. We would never stop loving him. He's always welcome to our home. I think that did sink in to the point where he knew he could call on us. He came to all of us. He came to his siblings. He came to Ray and I, and he asked for forgiveness. He did get to come to his youngest brother to Camden's wedding, and that was just great to have everybody there, just because that's so special to have him again. I think we're all stronger and more intentional with our relationships with each other.
My mom released my brother to God, and God brought healing to our family. And what God did for us, he can do for you. Surrender your brokenness to Jesus. Surrender to him. And finally, number six, you may need to make amends with your family. This is what Jacob did. Jacob, he got the blessing from God. He wrestled with him all night long. He knew God was with him, and now he is ready to face his brother. But Jacob also decided to make amends. And amends means doing whatever it takes to make things right. Jacob, remember, he had a huge amount of flocks. He had riches, and so he sent three groups of sheep and cattle and donkeys and camels, and he sent them to his brother Esau. And as each group arrived, they were to tell him this: they belong to your servant Jacob, but they are a gift for his master Esau. Look, he is coming right behind us. And so Jacob is turning things around. See, always before, Jacob was trying to take advantage of his brother, and now he's saying, my master Esau, I'm your servant. Jacob was always trying to steal from his brother, and now he's saying, I want to give you something. He's making amends. And the Bible says, as he approached his brother, he bowed to the ground seven times before him. And he's limping from his wrestling match with God, and he's bowing down to his brother, and Esau sees this brokenness in his brother he had not seen in 20 years. He says, my brother is a different man now. And as he saw this, Esau's heart melted. And the Bible says, then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they both wept. Friends, God brings healing to our broken families. He did it for Jacob. He did it for me. He can do it for you. And Esau said, hey, Jake, what's with all these herds, these groups of animals you sent me? And Jake's like, they're a gift for you. And Esau said, no, it's okay, brother. I've got plenty. I don't need it. But look at what Jacob said. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me and because I have enough. Circle that word, blessing. What did Jacob steal from Esau? A blessing. And now he is paying that blessing back. He's making amends. How do you and I make amends? It might be saying, look, I spent so much time away from my family, so now I'm going to be intentional about spending time with you. Or I said so many hurtful things to you, so now I'm going to be intentional about saying good things, blessings, speaking blessings into your life. Or it could even be, I stole from you in order to feed my own habit. I took food off the table to pay for my addiction, and now I am going to pay that back. Friends, do whatever it takes to make things right. And if you need more help with this, I want to invite you to visit Celebrate Recovery. We meet right here Friday nights at 7. You can learn to find healing from your hurts. You can learn to surrender your struggles, and you can learn, what does it mean to make amends? How do I make things right with those I've hurt? Come and find healing. I want you to see the promise God made to Jacob. God told Jacob, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. God took Jacob's broken family and brought blessing and healing to the whole world. Remember, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Jacob's 12 sons became the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And from his son Judah, the tribe of Judah, from his descendants came Jesus. God sent his own son to be born into Jacob's family and to take on our sin and our mistakes and our failures, and he took them on himself on the cross. He died in our place. And 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the dead, leaving our failures buried. The one who wrestled with Jacob wrestled with our sin and with death, and he won. And now he has a blessing for you today. He has new life for you. Friends, I don't know what brokenness you're facing, whether it's hurts from your childhood, whether it's hurts in your marriage, whether it's hurts with your own children, but I know this, your first step to healing is to invite Jesus in. He's waiting for you today. He has a blessing for you here today. If you've never invited him in, tell him something like this. Dear Jesus, I need you. Just tell him that right now. I need you. I need you to take my family curse and turn it into a blessing. Tell him today, I will not leave here until you bless me. Please come into my life and change me. Just tell him that right now, and he will come in. Amen. We're going to sing one more song together. And during this next song, I want you to listen to the words, because God has good plans for your life and the life of your family. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you see our pain today, the pain from our childhood, the hurts in our family today. And Father, only you can take the mess we've made and turn it into something beautiful. So Father, we give our mess to you. God, we thank you. You have good plans for our lives. Friends, whatever brokenness you have in your life and your family today, during this next song, bring it to Jesus and leave it with him. Father, we love you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you, heal the brokenness in our families. Because Jesus, you break every chain. We love you, Jesus.